Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome to an hour of mind power. Today, we're going to be talking about a very special critter. And I have a soft spot in my heart for them, even though historically they are not really supposed to be sweet, cuddly little creatures. But this is a book that was written by a very special lady. Her daughter is with us today. The book is called Wilma. It's an Alaskan tale of one teacher, two teenagers, and three wolverines. I want to welcome Tam Auguste Gisler. And Tam, this is just such a delightful story. I mean, this is a book a family could sit with and share and just make the experience so real. I just think it's absolutely marvelous. I fell in love with it. And this was written by your mom, Donna.
Correct.
Now, where did you find this? I mean, this, she obviously had it. She never published it herself. How did you end up doing it and why?
Okay. Well, first of all, you know, I'd like to say we published it just prior to my mother passing away earlier this year. So it was something we wanted to do for her before she left this earth. And we actually, she wrote this book 40 years ago. I remember as a child actually being on the site that the book takes place, Caribou Creek in Alaska, when she wrote the book with my my siblings and I were all camping out, and she was in a, we were in a camping trailer when she wrote the book. And she subsequently tried to get it published, but received a lot of rejections and got discouraged and shoved it all in a box and put it in the crawl space of our house. Now, fast forward about 14 years, and she actually did succeed in getting another book published, but she never went back and got this original manuscript and tried to get it published. Well, about a year and a half before my mom passed away, we were cleaning in that crawl space and found the box and the manuscript and pulled it out. And I remember thinking, well, this is a shame this has never been published because it's such a good story. And then in September, I received a postcard from you that you were coming to Anchorage, and I decided to bring my mother to meet with you. As she was stricken with Parkinson's disease, and as it progressed, it was more and more difficult for her to communicate. And so I figured you could assist us in that process. And one of the things that you told me in our session was that before my mother left this earth, that she wanted to publish a book. And I remember looking quite perplexed, and you were telling me about special machines they had for people who you know, had disabilities because the Parkinson's had crippled her fingers also. And I went home, and I was laying in bed a couple weeks later thinking, oh, this is going to be way too hard. There's no way she can write a book. You know, even if there's still a lot going on in her head, the physical disability is going to make it too difficult. And suddenly the thought cropped into my head, she's already written the book, dummy, just publish it. and I thought, oh, okay, that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to get her book that she wrote 40 years ago published. And thus began the adventure of doing so, and we actually succeeded in record time, and by December of 2009 it went to press, and we received it just in time. My mother and I had a surprise set up for her 85th birthday party in January, when we had all the family and friends gathered. She and I surprised everybody and passed out copies of the book.
Wow.
And then she subsequently was able to do one author signing at the Pioneer Home where she was stayed the last 9 months of her life. And so she had that dream come true before she passed away in March of this year.
That is just a fabulous, fabulous story. Now,
yes.
Your mom, was she in her 40s when she wrote this story? Or was she younger than that?
She was around 45, correct, because she was 85 when she passed away.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just think that this is magical. Now,
and the book was quite interesting because it was just at the time in her life when she was flirting with doing some serious backpacking in Alaska. And as a result, she had spent a lot of time talking with backpackers, with trappers, with hunters, with all sorts of characters that we have in Alaska who love the outdoors. Mm-hmm. And after she wrote this book, she really did progress on her goal of becoming an expert backpacker. And subsequently, she was the hiking chair for the Mountaineering Club of Alaska for 10 years and led extended hikes all throughout the state, wilderness regions, covered more than 2,600 miles. And then I told you she wrote another book called The High Country Backpacker. But so this book was kind of the preface into her backpacking career that became another adventure of my mother's.
Well, the Wolverine, I think, is extremely beautiful. I just think it is an incredible animal. Mm-hmm. But for so many generations, it has been tagged as this ferocious creature, which it can be, and it's extremely intelligent.
It's the adult Wolverines are not one you want to play around with.
No, they don't like that very much. And
but it's normally... It's not an animal that is normally aggressive unless they're feeling threatened. And in this story, my mom was particularly interested in writing a lot of the misconceptions about what people think of the animal, and in particular the kits, the Wolverine babies, and how if they're captured at a young age, they can have a slightly different relationship with the human being. And so in this book, without giving away the book, mm-hmm. in a nutshell, a teacher takes two of his students out on his trap line who win a contest in his class. So this was the prize. And they find a live female Wolverine in one of the traps. And the students convince the teacher not to kill it, but to bring it back to the cabin they were staying in. And when they got it back, much to their surprise, she went into labor and had four kits. And they decided to put the mother and two kits back in the wilderness and to take the other two kits back to Anchorage and raise them as their science fair project. And so the book continues as the adventure of raising these two baby Wolverines and the whole science fair adventure continues. And then eventually how they release Wendy and Willie, the baby kits, mm-hmm. back into the wilderness. So it's an adventure story, and it's really great for young adults, but all the way to adults. And I've had a number of people tell me that they've enjoyed reading it to younger kids too, and discussing and talking about Alaskan wilderness adventures as a result. So,
well, there's so many points of detail that your mother put in this story that are mm-hmm. That I think are so significant. One, really describing the ruggedness of the Alaskan environment. Mm-hmm. And that one portion of your book, she's talking about a female character that is going out into the wilderness with her daughter.
Right.
And it's just
a hunting expedition.
Yeah,
I loved it too, because it was, when this was written, it was during the push for the Equal Rights Amendment. And so there was somewhat of a theme in there where the female student was not invited on the hunting trip with the teacher and the male student. And so the mother said, well, fine, I'll take you hunting. And it ended up being a real thriller. And the mother and daughter came back with a sheep, and the teacher and the male student got skunked.
But you know what I liked so much, though, about mm-hmm. what your mother wrote? Mm-hmm. It's that you could actually feel like you were experiencing it. Of course, I have a passion for Alaska anyway, because I've been traveling up there for almost 30 years now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But I haven't been out in the rugged hiking. My idea of roughing it is, you know, maybe room service at the Holiday Inn. I mean, this is not what I'm excited about, but I could totally, totally relate, because mm-hmm. I have done some camping and mm-hmm. have been out, you know, in some rugged areas at different times. But being familiar with Alaska and having a few excursions through the years, I could just so relate to this and to the mother realizing that she didn't have, you know, all this muscle strength and all of the things that she's going through with her daughter because of the fact that the daughter's a teenager and she's going through her stuff, but how they manage to get through all of these variables. And it's a rugged environment up there. It fascinates me how, you know, people like your mother, who 40 years ago were living an Alaskan experience, that today, for most of the city people in Anchorage and even in Fairbanks, which is far removed from being a city like Los Angeles or New York, but really still the citified life, people have a way today of detaching from the realities of the harshness of the environment up there. And it is really rugged. I mean, I've experienced weather up there. It's just incredible. So reading about the mother and the daughter and the weather conditions and not having on the right clothes and, you know, it's absolutely marvelous.
That story is based on, my mother actually did take a sister of mine sheep hunting and subsequently took me and a friend hunting. And so those were based on a lot of the challenges and the foibles and the, you know, the learning experience that came into those things. But I think it summarizes what the Alaskan spirit here. There's a joke we have in Anchorage because Anchorage is obviously a very modern city with all the things that you need and, you know, American lifestyle. But we joke that the best thing about Anchorage is it's so close to Alaska.
That's the truth.
Because you can go 30 minutes into the Chugach Range right behind our city, and you are in the wilderness, and I hate to be so blunt, but you can get lost back there, never found. There are people that we've never found. And so when you go out in the wilds of Alaska, you do need to be prepared, and you need to use common sense, but you also need to have a sense of adventure in order to have some of these thrilling experiences.
Oh,
and the piece that I think that is wonderful about the book is it's not only is it entertaining, but it, therefore it is educational for young people and adults who are thinking about, could I do this? Could I have an adventure like this? Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's always room for learning and for expanding your own life experiences when you decide to go for it. So that's what I love, and it's truly the spirit of my mother and how myself and all my siblings were raised here in Alaska, is that you need to try things, you need to plan and be organized, and then you need to go for it. So
it's
a great story for kids.
It really is, but I think it's a good story for anyone, really. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. Of course, my husband always teases me, says, yeah, you're like a three-year-old. Anyway, I mean, I really just find that being able to read material like your mother put together, and yes, she has put together the main characters, Pam Walker, Tom Lerner, and William Marks, who is the teacher. But what she did was really write about life and how the teacher had confidence enough in the students to be willing to work with them, but she also incorporated so much information about this wonderful animal. I mean, she said, she talks about how the Eskimos and Indians have really, they have a special name for the wolverine, and they feel, they've always felt, the natives have, that it has mystic powers. I'm quoting from your book, Beyond Human or Animal Capability. And the reality was that the animal is just very intelligent and also shy. This is an extremely intelligent animal. And in Alaska, one of the things that's happened there, and it's happening around the world, there are so many species that were hunted and are being hunted to extinction. I just said something about rhinos last night, but the wolverines, not unlike the seals, were hunted for their pelt. And wolverine fur will not freeze. And I remember one of my first trips up to Alaska, I had a military man that came to see me, and he had this parka that looked all the worse for the wear.
Exactly.
And he would keep having patches put on it, because he said it had Wolverine around the parka hood, and
exactly.
He often had to be out in these freezing temperatures where icicles would just form all over your eyebrows and everything else. You know, the Wolverine fur would not freeze.
Exactly.
So
I just had that discussion
amazing.
With a Yupik woman a couple weeks ago, and she saw the cover of the book, and she says, "My entire parka is lined in Wolverine." And I said, "I know why."
So, in fact,
this is an interesting tie into the book. I was at the Alaska State Science Fair last March, and there was a young Native girl from Barrow who had done a science project talking about the effectiveness of different animal furs compared to synthetic materials.
Mm-hmm.
And so I talked with her in depth about the Wolverine and the fur and why it's a coveted fur for clothing and all. And she and her research proved the same too. So
mm-hmm. Absolutely true. And that's something that many people do not understand, that mm-hmm. when you have animals that live in extremely cold environments, and I'll testify to this, you can try all kinds of synthetic stuff. It will not breathe the way the fur does. And I ended up getting a fur coat. It's the only one I've ever had. I never really wanted one until I started going to Fairbanks, Alaska, where I experienced, try 70 below. I mean, I can remember going out and just saying, oh, it's so gorgeous, blue skies. I stepped outdoors. I thought my eyeballs were going to explode. I mean, it was so cold. I hadn't a clue. I mean, I was a greenhorn like you wouldn't believe, and I decided I'd go for a walk. Now, talk about a city slicker just really being dumb. I'm out there walking in 30, 40 degrees below zero. Of course, it looks like a day in Palm Springs, even though there's ice and snow everywhere. It's just gorgeous outside.
Right.
And I've been in the hotel. I want to get out. And I walk to the end of the parking lot of the hotel that I'm in, and I think I'm going to die. So I wisely turn around and decide to go back. And one of my clients later educated me. She said, you know, Donna, you're lucky that your ears didn't freeze because I had earrings on.
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh,
and
yeah.
Even though I was dressed what I thought was warm, I had on a very long kind of a wool skirt outfit. So I had that, and I had a long coat on. I had gloves, but they were leather gloves. And she said, you're lucky that your rings did not freeze to your fingers, that your earlobes didn't get frostbite, and that because you're wearing glasses, that you didn't freeze your nose. And I looked at her, and I said, okay, illuminate me. And she did.
Right.
She
right.
had lived up there. This was a woman that was in her 60s, and she had lived up in Alaska for years.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, this is what you need to be aware of.
Right.
And I was educated by some other people, and I said, holy Joseph, if you don't have that kind of knowledge, you can really be seriously injured. So the fur, that was the only thing, and to this day, that's the only thing that really keeps me warm
mm-hmm.
when I'm in 40 below zero weather.
And you know, if there's a wind blowing, the wind chill factor makes that even worse.
Oh,
and
it blocks
opportunities
the wind.
For frostbite increase dramatically.
Oh, tremendously.
One thing I wanted to bring up about the true stories in the book was Chapter 7, where she was the mother and her friend had dropped the students off, and they went to go visit a woman who lived nearby who was a homesteader. And that chapter is actually true, and it talks about this couple that homesteaded there and their whole experiences in the territorial government prior to Alaska becoming a state. And it's a very interesting story, and I wanted to point out that is very, very true. And so there's a lot of history that can be learned about Alaska in reading this book, too, even though, you know, it's technically a fiction story where she married together a lot of different activities and
mm-hmm.
true stories. But that chapter is definitely true. And the woman and the couple was Ben and Kay Hitchcock. And so it's a fascinating piece of Alaskan history there, too.
Yes, and when you think about it, it really wasn't that long ago.
Oh, no.
And
not in
Not in real time. It really wasn't that long ago. And I've talked to a number of people. I think that's why I enjoyed your book so much, because I've had this relationship with Alaskans for so many different years, and it's just been a joy to read your book about Wilma, or your mother's story, her book, and to see all of this information here. I mean, how many people listening to this show today could envision living in a tent?
Especially when you're about to give birth to another child and building a cabin. And
right.
People were pretty rugged. I mean, there still are individuals who live that lifestyle, but nowadays we have, you know, technology. At least, you know, if there were an issue, you probably have a satellite phone or something that you could get in touch with help. But back then, you were really off the grid and adventuring, living life to its max. I'll tell you that. So
yeah, walking across bare floor joists. Her husband had not finished laying the floor. She was only home from the hospital 3 days. Tiny baby. I mean, this is called balancing life, right?
Some people call it crazy, but...
Yes. I mean, the stories that you hear about, but one of my favorites, and I know it's digressing from your book a little bit, but it's about a young mother that I was on a plane with going out into the wilderness, and she was young. She was early 20s. And it reminded me of Kay and Ben in the book, because this young girl, she's going out, she and her husband decided they really wanted, she had a little baby that was under a year, and she was pregnant again, and they were going to go out, and they were going to live the good life. She had a book that was almost 3 inches thick that was issued to her by the state of Alaska. She had to order the food that was going to be brought in by plane. In the area, it was so remote.
Oh well, that's a common experience for people who live in Alaska who aren't in the cities or towns. Oh yeah, bringing supplies in by boat for those that have water access. But that's a common theme. I have a sister who used to live out in an Eskimo village, and she used to do a massive amount of ordering of materials and have them all come in by the barge, and then or she would come in for a visit to town and would go out with supplies to last for months and months. That's a common experience here.
Yes. And it is just, it's a way of life that people don't realize that we are fortunate. I mean, and that's again why I love Wilma so much. And I love the section where right in the beginning of the book, when the character Pam, when they're having to take care of these two baby wolverines in. Actually, three of them. There was Wilma, Wendy, and Willie. I loved it, the three W's. And you have these, and how they had to rub the tummies. Just, they had to mimic the mother's actions. And that was really a learning experience for these kids, because you don't realize how much work it takes for a wolverine mother to take care of these babies that she's got. And it's an intense job. What a project that would be.
Right,
and all
right.
of these little tiny things of detail that your mother brought in, it was just absolutely wonderful.
And, you know, the learning for the young adults in there, and this is an age-old theme, when young people take care of animals, they learn a lot of skills that I think are useful for parenting. Hopefully they also learn, there's a message in there about how they don't want to become parents too young because of all the responsibility, and caring for animals, is a valuable experience for young people if they truly are, doing it responsibly and learning about all the work that goes into doing it correctly. So,
and there's a little bit of a love story, too, between the two young people.
Oh, yes,
people.
Of course.
It's wonderful.
Though G-rated, a lot of parents look at me and I'll say, it's a G-rated love story, which isn't always common today.
No, today they take the romance out of a lot of it. But really, I think this is so wonderful because it shows two young people growing up into adulthood, having experiences of responsibility, and being expected to handle them, and they make their mistakes, but they have the support of adults around them Mm-hmm. And this, I think, is so, so significant because in our world today, we have so many young people who are so disassociated from reality.
Right.
That if you were to take and put them on a backpack expedition in Alaska, they'd say, I want a Twitter or whatever.
Right.
And you'd have to take all of that away from them to wake them up, to make them aware that life is really something very, very special because they live in this virtual world, and a lot of adults do the same thing, and they haven't got a clue.
Right. And quite frankly, if you take them into the wilderness of Alaska, you're not going to have connectivity anyway, so it becomes a moot point. I know when I've taken my own children on wilderness hikes and they've dragged along their iPods or some device and they find that they don't work, they usually go through a withdrawal period, but they survive. They survive. I remember I was hiking the Choku Trail and my son had his iPod plugged into his ears and I was just shaking my head and then the battery died and he had to go the next 3 days without music except for the natural sounds of nature. And he survived and actually admits that he enjoyed it.
Isn't that funny in today's world, the
right.
way we've become so disassociated from nature?
Mm-hmm.
And there's just so much that goes on, and we often have a difficult time even dealing with quiet. But I find nature is not quiet. I always
it's not quiet. In fact, when your ears become attuned, yes, it's quite noisy.
It's absolutely quite noisy. In fact, if it's totally quiet, you're going to say, uh-oh, is there a tsunami coming?
Right.
That's abnormal.
If I could interject something here, too, that I wanted your listeners to hear. My mother was a big proponent of science fairs, and every one of my siblings, there were seven of us growing up, were involved in science fairs. She thought it was a marvelous way for us to learn important analytical skills, problem-solving skills. And whether the schools required them or not, in our family, every one of us was required to do science projects. So it's not uncommon then that in this book that the whole science fair theme comes up in terms of the students raising these kits for their science fair project. And it's parallels some of my own actual experiences in life with science fairs. And I wanted to put a plug in there for parents who are listening to this program to really work with the schools or your local community in supporting science fairs and getting students involved. There's a big movement in the United States for STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math, and to improve STEM education. And when you work with students on science projects, you know, that's a prime way to improve the same skills that they're hoping are improved through STEM education. So,
well, I think that is something in the Alaskan environment that is just has been very supportive. In fact, if I recall correctly, there was a young Alaskan, a young man, who actually did the research on how germs survive in the cold, which most people don't even give a clue to. They go, well, that can't be. If it's cold, germs can't survive.
Oh,
well,
no,
he found that's right. He proved it. And this young man, I'm sure, is today in his 20s and going on and is probably earned scholarships all over the place because his discovery just dumbfounded a lot of mature scientists in the way he went around it. And he was from Alaska. I don't remember where in Alaska, but he had participated in a science fair, just like what you discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is important. I think that we need to be able to open up that vast, wonderful area called curiosity and investigation and willingness to deal with the details. I think there's just so much there for a young person and anybody of any age. There's just so much that we can learn. We never get it.
Oh,
your mother
sure.
did such a wonderful job on Wilma. This Alaskan tale of one teacher, two teenagers, and three wolverines is just priceless. I think that
Thank you.
It's wonderful that you were able to do this and that she was able to see this book and hold it in her hands and give it as gifts, and that you're still moving forward with it, I think is awesome.
Thank you.
So this is great. Now, Tam, I know that you said that people can get this book with publicationconsultants.com. They can go to that website and they can get it. But the cover on this is awesome. If any of you have young people that would enjoy reading, would enjoy learning about Wolverines, buy it, add it to your library, include it in your storytelling, dedicate it to a school, school library, share it with members of your own family. The facts in here are real. They really are. The characters, yes, some of them were made up, but some of them were not, just like
The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Okay, Tam, that works. But it's absolutely wonderful. It is a charming book.
Thank you.
And it's something that touches the heart and the mind, and it gives you a taste of the Alaskan spirit and the real story about what Donna Agosti went through with her own daughter, the story that is based in there on the sheep hunt, which I think is just incredible. It's absolutely wonderful. And I think that this is a wonderful legacy that your mother has been able to leave. And I do hope you'll get it in every school in Alaska and some others.
Yes. And I want to thank you, Donna, for your part in helping bring this to print, because without your suggestion in our session, this never would have come about. So
oh, my goodness. You're very gracious. Thank you so much. Tam Agosti Geisler is the daughter of Donna Agosti. The book is Wilma. You'll love the cover. I like Wilma. She's gorgeous. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, telephone lines are now open, and if you'd like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of insight, intuitive insight, that is, call me at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, I do want to let you know I have a radio show tonight that's going to be live with Deborah Ivanoff, and you can hear it on blogtalkradio.com/day-by-day-radio. And you can also go to the website answeringthesacred.com or partnering with thesacred.com. I'm going to be on with Deb at 7 o'clock this evening, And there will be an opportunity for you to call in if you so desire this evening. But I did want to let you know about that, and it is just wonderful. Deb is just a doll, and I'm really looking forward to doing a show with her. We're going to be talking about intuition and psychic development. Also, on Sunday, this Sunday, I will be on air with James Lowe live on KJAGradio.com. That's K like King, J like John, A G like George, radio.com. I'll be on from between 2:30 and 3:30 Pacific time. So he's central, so that is what the time frame is. I just got an email from him this morning, so I wanted to let you know about that. And there's just all these different opportunities that are coming up so I can interact with various people, and it's a delight to do it. I'm always happy to share my insights and my knowledge and understanding with those of you that like me to do that. I'm also happy to do it during my show, and the number to call into if you so desire to chat with me is 888-815-9756. I also want to bring up tomorrow night, if you are in Western Washington, there is an evening of mediumship that's going to be presented at the Blue Mouse Theater, and that's from 7 until 9 p.m. Now, you can get tickets at the door, and if you want to find out more information, call 253-503-3773, and there'll be someone there to answer your questions. Or you can go to the website, spiritualartalliance.com. At spiritualartsalliance.com. Now, they're going to be doing a number of demonstrations, and also the gentleman I had on yesterday on the show, Michael Shane, is going to be there. He is a transphysical phenomena medium, and this is something I think you would find very interesting. So again, the Blue Mouse Theater, tomorrow night, an evening of mediumship, 7 to 9 p.m., and that's at 2611 North Proctor Street, in downtown Tacoma. Well, I think that takes care of that information. Ooh, I have got a wonderful recipe for a cinnamon apple strudel. Now, this is something I don't have very often because I feel like I'll end up looking like a piece of strudel if I eat too much of it. But strudel is so good. And in Europe, it's just a part of the pastry world that you really like. The problem is that you have so many calories in that strudel that a little piece goes a long way. Well, I've got a recipe that I came across that actually cuts what would be considered a normal portion, which would be 400 calories, down to 175. Yes. So have that pad of paper and pen handy because I will be sharing that with you. And I wanted to share this wonderful story by Rose Vander Ark. And Rose had an experience that any one of us, when we're doing dishes or we're doing stuff around the kitchen sink and we have a patterning of taking our rings off, or maybe you've had a close call where you had a ring that maybe went down a pipe. Well, this story relates to that kind of an experience. She said she was doing the dishes and had the garbage disposal running. You know how that is. You're trying to multitask. And she hears this sound, clink, grumble, grumble. And as she responded to it, she saw something that looked like gold go down the drain. She immediately turned off the disposal. She could hear this sickening crunch. And it was her favorite opal ring. She said, oh, I hope it's not damaged badly. Well, guess what? It was mangled. Now, it had been many years earlier that her opal in her ring, in this ring that got mangled in the garbage disposal, had cracked, her opal had cracked, and she took it to a local jeweler. And he advised her, that first incident she had with her opal ring, he said, your setting is fine, and it's a very unique setting, but the opal has cracked, and it is going to have to be replaced. Now, the jeweler was very friendly, and at the time when this first experience, when she had to have work done on the ring, He said the setting are, it's so unique. He said they don't make settings like this anymore. And her setting for the ring had flowers that were very, very delicately and intricately carved on the ring's gold band. He said, by the time I finish replacing your opal in this ring, it's going to be just as good as new. Now, Rose said that opal is a birthstone. She was born in October, and it had been a birthday gift from her parents when she was 20 years old. So she said it was so treasured by her, and she said, I treasure my other rings too, but this really meant a lot to me. Now, she said the jeweler, that first incident she had with a cracked opal, he replaced the opal, and she said the ring looked absolutely phenomenal. And he advised her, he said, don't leave this ring on when you're putting your hands in warm soapy water, because that may have been what has cracked the opal. The opal is a very porous stone, so you want to be careful not to put it, your hands in hot water, because it will crack on you, and that I know from personal experience, because it happened to me. So she said she had, for years, she had taken such good care of this ring, and she said she even mounted a real cute little ring holder that had a heart shape to it by the sink to hang a ring on. However, what had occurred, even though she had put the ring on that ring holder and it was hanging above, the vibration from the garbage disposal caused the ring to flip off. And she said when she got it out of the garbage disposal, it was nothing more than just a tiny lump. It was just a mess. You wouldn't have even known that that ring had been as beautiful as it was. Well, she decided she was going to go back to the same jeweler who had fixed it so many years before. When she got to the location, the store was gone. And he had been out of business for everything that was there for a long time. And she said, oh my goodness. This ring can never be fixed. So she decided she'd take it to a jeweler that she knew at her local church. And he examined this lump that was in her hand and said, I'm sorry, but I wouldn't even know where to start. But I've got this friend who's a gemologist. I'll have him look at it. So he went into the back room of the church, and she said, oh boy, I guess I'm just out of luck. This just isn't going to work out. Well, this man comes walking out. She said it was the same voice, the same smile, and the same jeweler who had fixed her ring years before. He remembered her ring. And he said, I remember this ring so well because the setting was so unique. I can recreate this ring from memory for you. Did you get any goosebumps? Well, I'll tell you, I read that story and I got goosebumps. You just never know how things are going to come together. And what are the odds of going someplace, talking to someone, you have something mangled in your hand and they happen to know a gemologist and they come in and they say, I remember you. Mm-hmm. Don't you just love it? I think it is absolutely awesome to have an experience like that. It's just wonderful. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. The telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And if you're a first-time listener, remember all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, just sit back, relax, and let me tell you what I perceive, and you will be able then to ask a question about anything you like when I'm finished. Oh, before I forget it, I am going to be traveling up to Fairbanks and Anchorage, Alaska. You can go to my newsletter, and you can see all of the dates and information and contact information if you want to do that, and that's on my website, DelphiInternational.com. Also, for those of you in New York City, I'm going to be in New York City. I'm going to be there from the 21st to the 23rd. Now, this is a short trip, but I will have a little bit of time to meet with people for private sessions. I'm going to be attending the National Publicity Summit. Now, I've done this in the past, and what happens there on the 21st, the morning of the 21st, I will be interviewing and interacting with 100 authors. So a lot of the people that I'll be meeting there in New York, you're going to be hearing their stories on the air. And speaking of stories, tomorrow we're going to be talking about The Courage to be Free, Guy Finley, who is known for his wit and his wisdom. Well, his associate Tim Weichman is going to be on the air with me tomorrow. I just had a call from his publicist, and we'll be talking. And then on Friday, we're going to talk about wireless radiation rescue. Dr. Carrie Crofton is going to be my guest. So we have a dynamic lineup, and all you have to do, if you want to find out about the people coming up on the show, go into bbsradio.com, station number one, tap on the Donna Sebo Show, and there is a listing of all the guests that I have coming up, and you'll find a little bit of a write-up on each one of them. We've got fabulous people that have wonderful things to share, and I invite you to tell your friends about the show and also just to stop on by for a listen every once in a while. You just never know what's going to be coming your way. Donna Sebo here. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a minute and have that pad of paper and pen handy for the cinnamon apple strudel. Yum. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. All right, are you ready for something sweet that's going to be delicious on the lips and not vibrate down to the hips? Okay, this is a recipe that I think you will really enjoy. Now, again, this is something that satisfies that sweet tooth that all of us get. Personally, I really like it with a good piece of chocolate. However, you might want to adapt this recipe and try it out with different types of fruits. If you're not fond of apple, there may be something like apricots or, again, cherries. I know that's my husband's favorite. So you might want to play around with this recipe to see how you could incorporate what you want, because the calories are really reasonable, and you will just be tickled to death with it. This is what you're going to need: some butter flavor cooking spray. You're going to need 1 cup of fat-free. Oh boy, my mouth is wrapping around these words away easily. 1 cup of fat-free ricotta cheese from a 15-ounce container, and you want to drain it. So you want to take it out of its container, put it in a strainer, and just let it sit. If you put it over a nice bowl or something where the water can just drain down, that's great. You're going to need 2 tablespoons of Sun Crystals, an all-natural sweetener. It's granulated. So it's 2 tablespoons of Sun Crystals. You might want to try stevia. See if that would work for you as well. An egg white, and this should be at room temperature, 1 egg white, 2 tablespoons of flour, 2 tablespoons of flour, 1/4 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1/4 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1 gala apple cored, and you want to slice it very, very thinly. And a good way to do that is to put it into a Cuisinart if you want. That's a good way of slicing it thinly, or do it by hand, whatever you prefer. You're going to need 14 sheets of frozen phyllo dough, and of course, this will need to be thawed, and you need 2 sheets of low-fat cinnamon graham crackers, finely crushed. So 14 sheets of frozen phyllo dough at room temperature, and then you need 2 sheets, that's 4 3¼ by 2¼ low-fat cinnamon graham crackers, and you want to crush those really finely. You can just stick them in a plastic bag and roll them with a rolling pin or something that's just got a firm surface to it, and you've got your crushed graham crackers. And then you're going to need 1 tablespoon of cinnamon decorations if you like, and some confectionery sugar. Now, this is how easy it is. You're going to preheat your oven to 350 degrees. You want to coat your baking sheet with cooking spray. And then in your food processor, you're going to puree the ricotta and the tablespoon of sweetener, whatever you choose to use, until that ricotta is just creamy, creamy smooth. Then you want to stir in your egg white, your flour, and your vanilla, and you want to put it to the side. Now, in another bowl, you're going to combine your apple slices and the remaining sweetener. Put your apple slices and remaining sweetener in another bowl. Then you cover your phyllo dough with wax paper and damp paper towels. Your phyllo dough is so fine, it'll dry out on you. So you want to make sure you don't have a wet towel, but a damp towel and some wax paper there. And on a baking sheet, you're going to place two sheets of your phyllo, and you overlap them to form a 13 by 12 inch rectangle. And you want to coat with a cooking spray and then sprinkle with a tablespoon of your crushed graham cracker crumbs. And then you're going to repeat the layering with your remaining phyllo, cooking spray, and crumbs, ending up the top final piece going on your phyllo. And you want to then spoon your ricotta mixture in a 3-inch wide strip along one long side of the dough. And you want to leave a 4-inch border on the long side and a 2-inch border on the short end. So I'll repeat that. You spoon your ricotta mixture in a 3-inch wide strip along one long side of the dough, leaving a 4-inch border on the long side and a 2-inch border on the short ends. Then you top your cheese mixture with your apples, and you sprinkle them with cinnamon decorations. You fold the ends and long side over and over, up and over the filling. And then starting with the filled long side, you roll up your strudel. And then you take your strudel, arranging it seam side down on your baking pan, coat it with a butter spray, put it in the oven, and you bake it for 15 to 30 minutes until it's golden brown. Let it cool, and before you serve it, sprinkle it with some confectioner's sugar. Delicious, light, but sweet, flavorful. Like I said, you might want to try some different fruits inside of this, or even try some chocolate, some of your favorite chocolate, and with the ricotta. Try just experiment. That's the wonderful thing about cooking. You can try all kinds of things, and maybe you will even have a mixture of fruit. But whatever your taste buds decree, that's what is going to make this especially special. But what a way to enjoy a dessert and know that you're not getting tons of calories and yet your sweet tooth is satisfied. It's a good thing. It really, really is. I really think there is so much in life that is so very, very special. And there are people that dare to take chances on doing unique things. There are people that have stories to tell about how they've made money in unique ways. And those are some of the stories I'm going to be sharing with you in the coming days. How entrepreneurs have decided to keep on going and going and not giving up, knowing that they really have an opportunity to make a difference, to try something different, to be able to create an environment for income and perhaps even employment for other people. We live in a fascinating world today where you could be someone that is an expert on stringing violins and make a good income, and yet also be in a world that's filled with technology. There is just a tremendous variety of opportunity out there for all of you. So if you feel like life is not fair and it's just really tough for you right now, realize that this is an opportunity for you to seek out what maybe you would never have dreamed was a possibility of opportunity for you to explore. It is something that I find so amazing. You know, I have a friend, and she is close to 80 years of age. She has been wanting to make an income for the longest time. Well, she found a way to generate an income at her level of age, which most people would have said, you've got to be kidding. Well, I think I'm going to share her story with you tomorrow. I know we're just about out of time. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Don't ever give up, because you'll never know how a dream can be realized unless you hold it true in your heart and your spirit and you go for it. Remember, there's always an opportunity. You just have to be open and receptive for it. So pay attention. We'll be back here tomorrow, and have a great day or evening wherever you are, right here at bbsradio.com station 1. This is Donna Sebo. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.